We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. As usual, I am in the chair, or rather on it, and at the tables, or rather behind them, are also, as usual, John Amis and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. And on my right, a piano. I was reading a 19th century journal the other day, and I learnt that Lord Chancellor Thurlow, on learning that his daughter had eloped, issued an immediate order. "Break up her piano," he cried. And this first round concerns, as it happens, the piano. John, can you give me, please, a number or two for this? A number or two.
Isn't it Beethoven's third... That's effort at writing a piano concerto?
Yes, third piano concerto. Opus, do you happen to know?
It's
rather a test.
30-something?
Yes, 37, very good. And composed in the...
1802?
Yeah, near enough, 1800. Terrific. Good for you. Still with the piano, Frank, what was this before George Shearing got to it? Two, three, four, five.
Oh, that's a long way away, isn't it?
It is a long way, yes. Long way from whom?
It's all the way from the mysterious East, or Middle East, isn't it?
That's right.
It's Scheherazade.
Yeah. The young prince and princess, or translated in different ways, from Scheherazade by...
Rimsky-Korsakov.
Thank you very much.
Hyphenated.
Yes, that's right. And in 5/4 time, and since somebody wrote to me once, do you remember this, Ian, and said the way to get yourself into 5/4 time is to say Rimsky-Korsakov, Rimsky-Korsakov, and it works. So there it is, Rimsky-Korsakov in 5/4. Ian, this is the theme from somebody's Variations on What?
Ah, yes. That is a marvellous moment if you have played another part other than that of Cinderella in Rossini's opera, Cinderella or La Cenerentola, because she has to sing that Non più mesta at the very end of the opera, and she stands there with all the rest of the cast having done their work except to bellow out a very short finale, and yet she has the most testing and difficult thing to do right at the end of the opera. And on one occasion at Glyndebourne, we were all rather worried because our Cinderella was Teresa Berganza, and it was Teresa Berganza expecting her first child fairly soon. And indeed so soon that she was not going to do the whole season. She was going to do a certain number of performances, and then somebody else was going to take over. And there had been a rumour that a famous soprano of the past, or coloratura mezzo, rather, of the past, Conchita Supervia, yes, had died as a result of singing that part... expecting a baby. And so we all knelt. I'm the poor old wicked stepfather and the ugly sisters, and we're all kneeling asking forgiveness of this lovely girl, and we were all sort of waiting to catch her the moment that she would collapse in the middle of this aria. But such a wonderfully relaxed singer was she that she always got through it and happily had the baby and lived happily ever.
Well, good. Yes, well, good. As you say, from La Cenerentola by Rossini. I had a charming letter from Sonia M. Cooper, of Torquay, sea, describing her three children. At the time of the story, they were 3, 5, and 7. They were allowed to choose a record to be played instead of hearing a bedtime story. And the eldest two chose theirs. And then the three-year-old went through the various records and brought her mother his master's voice recording by Fats Waller. "This is what I want to hear," she said. "The dog blowing down the trumpet." Dennis, the subject is Fats Waller. If this is the beginning...
Who's that walking around here? Mercy.
Wonderful strutting tempo. If that's the beginning, Dennis, what is the very last line?
The very last line on the record I've got, because he recorded a lot of times, didn't he?
Yeah.
Is "One never knows, do one."
That's right. "Your pedal extremities really are obnoxious. One never knows, do one.
Yeah.
The record was called
"Your Feet's Too Big."
"Your Feet's Too Big," yes. That's right. Come on. Some questions to do with music on the stage. John, where would you find Fafner and Puff?
Fafner and
Puff.
Are they together?
Well, no, they're not. But they have something very strongly in common.
Ah, well...
You know about Fafner, you know about Puff.
Fafner,
yes.
Is in Wagner's Ring.
What is he?
He's a dragon.
And what is Puff?
Well, he's either a dragon slayer or second dragon.
Magic dragon.
Yes, as Frank... He's a magic dragon. Puff, the magic dragon. Yes, they're both dragons. Frank, in the original Broadway version of My Fair Lady, who played Mrs. Higgins? Broadway version.
Mrs. Higgins.
Perfectly marvellous actress. I happen to know that you happen to know her.
Yes, that's how they perspicacious.
I heard you on the radio introducing her on the stage of a theatre not terribly far from here.
Yes, when the New Lyric Theatre opened in Hammersmith, some of us did a programme to commemorate the opening with a lot of people who had played at the Lyric Hammersmith, including Dame Marie Rambert and Athene Seiler and Catherine Nesbitt. And all three were over 90.
This was...
And Kathleen Nesbitt.
Right.
And she played a scene from The Duchess of Malfi, sinking down on her knees and rising again at 93. Beautifully played, too.
Ian, what did Mrs. Cripps mix up?
Ah, Mrs. Cripps mixed up babies, because Mrs. Cripps, in her early days, before she became... what is known as a bumboat lady, Little Buttercup, and sold goodies to the Matlows. She was, and she admits it towards the end of HMS Pinafore, very shamefacedly, a baby farmer.
Indeed, yes.
Ooh.
Couldn't have answered it better if I'd had it written down in front of me. Dennis, what happens in Missy Tucky?
In Rainbow Valley, Missy Tucky.
That's right, yeah.
Finian... Yes. Has a crock of gold, which he stole from a leprechaun called Og.
Yes.
In Finian's Rainbow.
Exactly. It's the action of Finian's Rainbow takes place in the state of Missy Tucky. Yeah. The international language of music is Italian, a language which I personally speak non troppo. Let's see how we get on with one or two Italian terms. John, here is some music first by Beethoven.
Of St. Clement's.
It is a bit, isn't it? John, marked by Beethoven, alla danza tedesca. What does that mean, tedesca?
Well, literally, like a German dance.
Yes, in the style.
There was a German dance called a Deutscher, sometimes called a Teutscher. Oh. And I suppose Beethoven translated it into Italian.
Yes. Which you don't do so well as you do German, do you?
I try, you know, sometimes. If you give me half a chance.
How about Belgian?
Jepal Belge. As Peter Ustinov once said so memorably in What was that thing about the Turkish diamond? You know, the
top copy.
That's right.
Je parle belge.
Frank, here's a rather jolly piece of music. Will you listen carefully, please? Then raise your hand and utter a sharp cry when you hear a ritardando, or perhaps a ritenuto. Sharp cry. Yes.
It was retarded.
It was retarded.
At the point in which the tempo was
held back in that mazurka. Ian, will you please signal with voice and hand when you hear what is obviously the dal segno, or is it the da capo? Missed it.
That's interesting. It's rather like the chap who, you know, got a triangle part in a very, very large symphony orchestra, and they had a lot of percussion. They needed this extra chap, and he had to travel 100 miles to play this one note, very important note, and he stood there poised with his triangle like this. And he missed it. Yeah. He just had to pack up his triangle and go the 100 miles home without ever made any sound at all. Well, it was at the end of when she finished singing, I suppose.
No, it wasn't. It was when she went back to the beginning. That was the da capo, not where she finished.
I know what it is, but I'm
afraid you have sacrificed a mark, Mr. Trump.
I have indeed. I'm very sorry. I was so intrigued by the tremendous, marvellous breath control
of. Did you recognise the voice? Just for interest, Janet Baker.
Janet Baker. You know, she dazzled me with technical expertise, and I missed it.
Talking of triangles, I once had to play the triangle in Brahms 4. There's one brief part for the triangle, and the triangle player didn't turn up. And when the moment came, I picked up the triangle by the metal.
Oh, yeah. Well, in case you're wondering, Dame Janet Baker was singing Prepare Thyself Zion from the Christmas Oratorio. Dennis, in your case, I want you please to hold up your hand and call out as soon as you hear a glissando.
Is that a glissando? Yes. Was it that first bit?
Yeah.
I always thought it was something that happened on a harp, because when we used to write scripts and you wanted to change, you always get it in cheap radio soap operas, when you want to change from one scene to the other and you've only got a bit of cheap music, you always write the word gliss, and we used to write gliss without knowing what it was.
This is what you get on a harp. I'll play you one.
That's it. That's the following day.
Yeah. That was a bit of Bix Beiderbecke we heard then. Dennis, do you know which jazz instrument finds it easiest to play? A glissando, a slide, a smooth...
Oh, well, I would think a trombone.
Trombone, yes. Mm-hmm. And do you know why they were called tailgate trombones?
Because they played them over the tailgate of trucks.
Wagon, they
went
around
wagons.
You had to, because you
went around
play
New Orleans.
Inside the wagon. You had to play with the slide over the end.
Do you know you can't play a large flute sitting with your side against a wall? Just occurred to me.
You could, or a piccolo.
You'd have to compensate. You know, flute players raise their eyebrows more than any other instrumentalist when they play.
Oh, you bassoon what? Players in my...
No.
Archie Camden.
Yes. Sopranos.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's continue. Preposterous is the word, I think, for a good many opera plots. See if you can identify the opera by a description of its closing bit of action. This is the bit that happens just before the curtain falls. John, their wedding relieves the village of its wandering ghost. Which opera might that be?
Is it Sonnambula?
La Sonnambula by
Bellini.
Bellini, yes. Wandering Ghost is the Sleepwalker.
Giselle.
Yes.
Did you say?
It's not an opera.
Frank?
Not an opera. Frank,
sir.
I quote, even the turnkey and the jailer join in the final dance.
Oh, it's in a prison.
Goody, goody. Well done.
What I know, should I know this?
You just might. You
just might. Is it Beggar's Opera?
Yeah, thank you, yes. The Beggar's Opera. Even the turnkey and the jailer join in the final dance.
1728.
Ah, thank you, yes. Yes. Never miss that. That and Elgar, the Spanish composer.
Yeah. That's right. And the Battered Bride.
Well, that's right, yes. Ian, quote, Cedric allows Wilfred to wed Rowena. Isaac is reunited with Rebecca. That comes from the closing pages, you might
Richard,
say. Of what?
That could be the end of about 15,000 operas.
I don't know.
But not with those names. Cedric, Wilfred, Rowena, Isaac, Rebecca.
Walter so, Scott.
Walter Scott,
is
yes.
Rebecca, there's a Rebecca.
Walter yes. Scott. Have a shot.
I'm afraid I'm...
Come. Ivanhoe, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-da.
Oh, well, yes. Well, you get the mark, Steve.
Well, I do, you're not in trouble. It comes from Sullivan's Ivanhoe, yeah. Yes. Notable for an aria called Woo Thou Thy Snowflake. Now, there aren't many of those, I can tell you. Dennis, again, the closing. Mm. The roof crashes down, burying him.
Waking up quite a large number of the audience, I think.
It's quite possibly, yes.
Bless this house.
I have it on good authority. It could be Samson and Delilah.
It could be after the haircut. Yes, yes. Samson and Delilah, that's right. By Saint-Saëns. Some middle bits now, in John's and Ian's case. Very brief ones indeed. John, this is a bit out of the middle of what?
Is it a piano piece?
Yes. I'll play you that in the next bit, because it's difficult.
I think it's a mayonnaise.
It's a mayonnaise, yes.
Isn't that also a bit from Teddy Bear's Picnic? In
a word, no.
Oh.
Mayonnaise from Paris.
It comes from the... Which mayonnaise?
It didn't sound as if you were playing it in A-flat, but...
No, no, it's not A-flat. No, it's the A major.
Ah, it's the middle bit of the A major.
It goes on... and so on. Well, a half mark, I think.
Half mark? For saying polonaise?
Well, all you said was mayonnaise. And then you got the wrong key. Oh, give him a mark. Yeah. Give him a mark. Right. Argue when you get it. Frank, here's your middle bit.
It does it again, doesn't it?
There it goes, and so on. And then it goes, and then it goes.
Oh, yes, that's enough.
That's what it is.
Then it goes on.
That's right. I think you'll agree, audience. Two well-earned marks. Salut d'amour, yes.
By Spanish railway station.
By Spanish railway station, Elgar. That's right. Yes. Ian, your middle bit.
Ah, yes, I think that's a bit of Rhapsody in Blue.
Right out of the middle. Dennis, your middle bit.
Now, it's a rag. Now, which rag...
Temptation Rag.
Temptation Rag. You got it. Absolutely right, yeah. Temptation Rag. So to the party pieces, the chance for our four to show off their singing. The songs this week are all serenades in a way, very broadly speaking in Dennis's case, a serenade. John begins the singing with a serenade from The Fair Maid of Perth by Bizet.
Oh, lovely.
John.
Yeah, I love this. Don't ruin it.
Try not.
Al avoir de l'âme fidèle, arrête ma belle, ainsi qu'autrefois.
Written about Australia,
Perth. Yes. Frank's serenade is to a girl at the end of a dance. Who's taking you home tonight? Take your partners for the last waltz.
The naffy. Yes. It all comes back.
You haven't got fixed up by now.
Yeah, it's too late. Where's the key?
Yes, that's right.
Who's taking you home tonight after the dance is real? Who's going to hold you tight and whisper, I love you, I do? Who's the lucky guy who's going your way to kiss you good night at your doorway? Who's taking you home tonight? Darling is flying to see. I'm hoping, please let it be me.
Dennis has a song about the cloisters. And where are the cloisters, you ask? And the answer's in the song. I do a bit of this.
We're all living at the cloisters. That's what we call our own. It's close to the crown. Cloister the plough. Close to the anchor and the old dun cow. The cloisters is close to the brewery. We can all smell what they brew. And we don't care tuppence when the rent day comes, cos it's close to the workhouse too.
Ian's song, as I suggested, is a serenade, an unusually lovely one too. The words are by Tennyson, the music by Roger Quilter. Gorgeous. Now sleeps the crimson petal. Right, Ian?
Now sleeps the crimson petal, now the wine. Nor waves the cypress in the palace walk, nor winks the goldfin in the porphyry font. The firefly wakened, into the bosom of the lake. So fold thyself, my dearest, thou and sleep. Slip into my bosom and be lost, be lost in me.
Be lost in me. It's pity to talk about losing in any mundane sense after that. Somebody has to lose, and the fact is somebody has lost. And the contest this week has been won by, would you believe, John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.